everyone, and welcome back to another episode of TSW Comics, where we take a look between the pages of Marvel's Star Wars comics. I'm your host, Tim, and joining me, as always, my dude, Rob Cast.
Hey!
What's going on, man? It's been a while. It's been a minute since we recorded a TSW Comics episode.
Yes. Actually, I just want to reply to somebody. Ian from Louisiana, thank you for your email, and thank you for asking what's going on with us. It's been about 3 months, but we've had a takeover here at TSW.
Yeah.
Not hostile in any way, but as you know, Mark has decided to leave the podcasting table. And Rob, our good friend Rob Wade from TSW, he has purchased TSW in its entirety. And when he purchased TSW, he's purchased our souls and likenesses.
Yes. We had to commit, sign the dotted line.
Yes, absolutely. So just to make things clear, there was absolutely no turmoil, nothing strange going on. It was just a matter of timing of getting everything straight and how we're going to continue. And we've been away for 3 months, and wow, do we have a lot to cover.
Oh my, yes. There's been brand new series dropping. There's that always incredible Vader series, that ongoing. We've got some adaptations to talk about with The Last Jedi and Thrawn. Some of even the Star Wars adventure stuff for not quite focused on us, but focused a bit more towards the youth, that generation just coming into Star Wars. And what I think going forward here with TSW Comics, we're going to continue the format that was well established with Mark and Rob originally, and they so nicely invited me on to the podcast. And Rob and I are going to take this forward, and we're going to just go through the comics like we do. We really enjoy reading these. Rob, you get every single Star Wars comic that is printed. I'm a bit more niche. I pick and choose my different series. I'm quite a bit behind on some of the ones that I want to catch up on, but in a general sense, we're going to look at one issue a month, and we're also going to talk about some news and some comic book related things in each podcast. So this is going to continue to be a monthly podcast. It's going to be posted in the TSW feed as always, and we're always willing and always wanting your feedback, your questions. When we're doing the original TSW comics, we really appreciate when people are writing in, asking questions, and we want to continue with that. We want to encourage that, because that's a lot of fun for us to do, is answering your questions, whether you're a novice or whether you're someone that's been reading or read, like Rob here, every single comic book. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the episode as well as the issues we discuss.
Absolutely. And as customary, Tim, you just figured this out. Mark and I recorded an episode of TSW Comics in Orlando last year when we were at Star Wars Celebration.
Yes.
And we ended up getting reservations at a hotel. I managed to not – obviously, we didn't stay in the same room, but we managed to stay in the same hotel. And we were doing the Uber thing together and checking out Celebration. And Mark's from the UK, and I'm from Ontario, Canada. So it was really cool to meet up with him. So you got roped into are you going to Celebration next year?
It feels like I'm sitting in Mark's seat right now, because, yeah, I got the 5-day pass. I booked my hotel, which coincidentally, or maybe not so much, is the same hotel that Rob booked down in there in Chicago. And I'm super pumped, man. 5 days, it's going to be incredible.
Yeah, this is fantastic. So this is actually, I hope, hopefully, if as long as I keep doing this TSW Comics, hopefully it becomes a tradition where the hosts have to go to Celebration,
because
there has to be a live meetup. Now, people might get confused. Yes, we are both Canadian, as you can tell by our accents, but you live in Alberta and I live in Ontario, which is, you fly it all the time. How many kilometers are we?
I can't tell you off the top of my head kilometers, but it's about a 3.5-4 hour flight.
Yes. So we're not close.
No, not at all. We're almost a country apart here. Put it in the perspective for Europe, you could fly almost anywhere from the UK, from London, from Heathrow there, to anywhere in Europe, within the same time it takes me to get from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, out to Ontario, Toronto there. So we're quite a ways apart, and Chicago's almost in the middle. Almost.
Yeah.
Pretty close.
It's a great meeting place. And so we hopped on right away. Unfortunately, we tried desperately. The two of us got in cahoots and were like, okay, once the tickets go on sale, the passes go on sale for Celebration, we're gonna hop on right away. And as the clock struck 12 Chicago time, we hit click to buy, and we were desperately trying to get VIP passes. Now, they were very pricey, but if we're going to make the trip and we're going to travel internationally, and we just said, the hell with it, let's go for it. And within seconds, they were sold out.
I was shocked, actually, because I got stuck in that virtual waiting room even a bit longer than you did, and how quick they went. We're like talking under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there watching the clock tick on my computer. And I had two windows open. You had the same thing. We talked to Tim McMahon from Less Than 12 Parsecs. He said he had six windows open trying to get VIP tickets. And I don't know if they just sold so few of them. Or
I heard it's 300. And you know what? Yeah, 300 of them passes were sold. And yes, they were sold out, and we missed out. And I understand how quickly they sold. Because once you get the celebration, you're going to realize next time you're going to have at the back of your mind, oh, I'm definitely going to want these. So I think over 300 people have decided this.
Yeah, so, I'm sure there's a whole bunch more that wanted them.
Oh, yeah. And there's people that are desperate to get them. But, you mean, right away, you and I, we both purchased our five-day passes. Yep. Individually, and that was a good stroke of luck too, because 3 days later those were gone.
Yeah, because there's quite a few people that were talking about even just sitting on it, because I know in the past, even up until last year, Ben and Ash from Skyhopper said they basically decided to go last minute, and I think you were able to get the full 5 day or 4 day passes, I think it was, right up until a month or two before. No,
what happened was, because I know Mark, he from obviously TSW, he ended up with a media pass, which he applied for, and he said, I'm going. And he goes, you should go. And I was like, oh, I'm not going to go to that. And then I was talking jokingly with my wife. I wasn't even hinting at it. I'm like, oh, Mark wanted me to meet him in Orlando. And she's like, why don't you go? And then it just dawned on me, like, oh, that's an excellent question. I think I'm going to go. So I went on the site. This was about 2.5 months before a celebration, and I wasn't able to get the four, because it was, that celebration was only 4 days, and I wasn't able to get the 4 day pass, but I was able to buy the Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday individual day passes, which is kind of cool, because I have them in my other office right now. So I got them on a wall on a lanyard, and they're all, the artwork on them is just fantastic. So I have my I was able to go all 4 days, but I had to buy them individually, and I think it cost me maybe an extra, even 60 American dollars, but I was still able to do that. But now, and I know the weekend passes they used to have, they weren't sold out until 5 months before the event. And now, as we stand, they went on sale not even a week ago, and the Saturdays are already sold out.
Wow.
So if you missed out on the VIP, obviously, and the 5 day passes, and you were going to buy your days individually, you're going to be going to Chicago. You can go Thursday, Friday. Maybe, hopefully there's a game on at Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have all day Saturday to do nothing, and then you can come back for Sunday, Monday.
And Saturday is usually one of the bigger days, too.
That's exactly the point.
It's going to be super exciting, man. I'm looking forward to meeting up with yourself and the whole crew from Star Wars Commonwealth. There's a lot of people going, already committed to going. Tatooine Sun, Skyhoppers, all those guys. Like, everyone is heading down there. I think there's representation from almost every single podcast in the Star Wars Commonwealth as well.
Yes, so, and what we're going to do after this show, we're actually having a little Commonwealth meetup on Skype after you and I are done recording the show, and we're gonna talk to our brethren there and see what we can cook up. And again, as a Commonwealth, we're going to try to maybe get into that podcasting stage, which would be great. Maybe have an open panel or something. But anyway, that's all in the future, and we're gonna try to have a real big presence at the next celebration.
Yeah. So keep your ears tuned on all the podcasts and the TSW roundtable as well, just to hear our plans as they evolve, because we want to try to include as many people as possible, whether you're a podcast or whether you're a listener or just a Star Wars fan in general, and want to meet up and talk Star Wars with kind of the whole big crew that's gonna be down there. So it's gonna be a ton of fun. So make sure we'll get any plans that we put together, we'll make sure they're communicated on Twitter and all the podcasts, including this one itself.
Yes, absolutely. So, and you can, there's a good chance you can come have a couple beers with a couple Canadians, except our taste buds are probably a little more refined. So domestic American beer might not be okay. We'll have to talk to the Rogue Squadron boys.
Yeah.
I was able to have some craft beers with them down in Orlando, and they made some excellent choices. So just because you understand Americans, and it's, that's, we're just kind of teasing. We just know that, you know, Canadian beer is pretty awesome. Yeah. So.
Gets you to that right place.
Yes, exactly.
All right, my dude. Let's get talking about some comics here. Now, it's been quite a while since we recorded, about 3 months. And as we alluded to, you know, a lot has happened within the industry. We've seen a new movie come out. We've seen that new comic adaptation of The Last Jedi. So everything's cooking on all cylinders here when it comes to comics in Star Wars. And I got to know, what have you been reading? I need some... I need some real wisdom here whether or not I need to jump into this Last Jedi adaptation. I know you're reading it.
Yes.
Give it to me. Like, do I need to be reading this?
Yes, short answer, absolutely. These comics, I know they get poo-pooed a lot because I just watched a movie. Why do I gotta read this comic? For the same reason why you a lot of people like to download the audiobook, the novelization, or even read the actual novel itself when these movies come out. I opened up issue one of The Last Jedi, and there was a front page with Luke on the island meditating. And it was the beginning of The Last Jedi, but it's a scene we never saw before. But there was like 3-4 panels, and I tweeted it out to you guys. I think it was private message. I wasn't gonna photo the actual comic and tweet it out to the world. So I messaged you guys and said, "Look at this, guys! Like, just the people in the Commonwealth. Like, you guys have to pick this up. This is awesome." And it gives you a little bit. They go in depth. They gloss over a lot of the action stuff. Because they have a few panels of really great action scenes in the movie, but again, they can't draw it out like they do on screen, and you don't get hit by it like it is on screen. So they get the point across. The art's fantastic, but it's the what's in, what are they thinking without, what is their internal monologue? Because they can have the thought bubble. So now you have Luke meditating, you have a thought bubble, you know what's going through his head. You don't have to look at the character and like, oh, I wonder if he's mourning Han. I wonder if he's thinking about the Jedi. I wonder if he's doing this. No, it's right there on the page. They're quick reads, unlike the novels. And I love them. I have every single one from New Hope, the OT, the prequels. And I got them all on my shelves, and I picked up Rogue One and Force Awakens, comic adaptations. And they're great. Yes, you're not going to get an original story, but I think they're fantastic.
Do you find it recontextualizes things from the movie? Because as we know, The Last Jedi was a bit of a divisive film. There's some, and myself included, I had some issues with some of the parts. Do you find that it sheds some light maybe on some of those issues? Maybe I didn't have an issue with Luke himself, but I know from even that page that you sent me that it does do a little work towards trying to reset Luke's mind frame going into the film.
Yes, absolutely. Just, and like I said, the first couple panels from issue one, I just got issue two a couple weeks ago. So, and it's doing the same thing, except with a lot more with Leia as we progress through the movie, through the comics. But last time we saw Luke, he was smiling, looking at the ghosts of his dad and Obi-Wan and Yoda. And you had this guy, how old was Luke in Earth years, what he could have been, 25, 26?
If that, yeah.
And now we're seeing him in his 60s. Like, I know, even I'm 44, and if I looked at my 25-year-old self, even 20 years ago, I wouldn't be the same person.
Yeah, fair enough.
So you're, I'm not, it basically sets it up so, like, you're getting just a little, where is Luke's mindset now? Instead of just trying to convey it on the screen with a scruffy beard and a scowl, you know what I mean? Like, he's just, it's painting this picture for you. It's setting him up going, yeah, this isn't that kid that just, you mean, redeemed his father. Well, you mean, that's an opinion, but either way, you know, we're not going to get into a Return of the Jedi thing here, but it really does set you up going, okay, this is the Luke we're dealing with now.
Yeah. And I know in the past I've said I need to get into these adaptations because I'm looking for a little bit more context here. And I think with that panel you showed me, I'm actually going to pick these up. Now, you're only 2 issues in at this point.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a few more Star Wars comic books to get into. This is a nice confined series. So yes. It's, I think it was 6 issues?
I think it's going to end on 6. It's just 2 so far.
Yeah.
But if I can just make a comment on that, since Marvel's taken over and they've come out with their comic runs, I've had standing orders at my comic book shop, pull everyone. So I'm a completist. That's why I don't collect Funkos or go into the Black Series like you guys do, because I can't. They look great. They look fantastic. I'm sure they look great in my house, but I can't, because I know I can't start tugging that string. But that's why I get the individual issues. So that's great for my collection. But as far as these movie ones, if you can hold out, again, I don't want to poo-poo the sales of these books, but if you grab the trade paperback, because especially around Christmas, they usually come out with hardcovers. I got the hardcover trade paper, like obviously not the hardcover trades for the prequel and the OT, and they look fantastic on my shelf.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm usually do push for those too, because yeah, it's, I guess with The Last Jedi, that's something I can wait on. So
yeah,
having,
and because you know the story, yeah. You're not going to get spoiled. It's not like you're going to, I'm not going to text you and go, hey, Tim, oh my God, did you see the ending of this comic? And then you're like, no, thanks. Like, but we all know the ending of The Last Jedi. And again, I don't want to discourage anybody from buying these comics because I want to have them keep coming. But at the same time, when you have the movies and you have all, and they'll come out with a hardcover edition of the trade. So just to have them on your shelf, like I can pull out New Hope. It's sitting right behind me in my other office. And I was like, oh, there it is. It's right there for you. Instead of digging through a long box.
Yeah. Brilliant idea. You know? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start going, because I know at Chapters, they usually have these things even on sale quite a bit.
Yes.
Trade paperbacks. And usually with the movie adaptations, they do have them quite frequently and quite well stocked. And that Chapters too.
Yeah, they don't disappear like you would see if you tried to find a Lando trade paperback from the original Lando run, or even trade paperbacks from the original Vader run. They're even since Marvel, they're harder to find.
Yeah, they are. So,
you know, so that's the route I would take if you're gonna binge the whole thing. Go that way.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the best route forward. And I think even with some of these shorter miniseries, maybe ones like going back to that old Lando, if you can find them, at this point, they're probably worth getting in trade and kind of binging right through them.
Yeah.
So it depends on the type of comic book reader you are and if you're willing to wait for a story. So when we look back, and this is a comic we're going to review this week, is this first issue of Lando Double or Nothing. I can't wait on this. I got to get into this comic book. I got to read it because I got to know the context for Solo, a Star Wars story. So those ones I can't wait on. But the adaptations, yeah, you're right. This is something that we know. We know the general arc. We know the story. What we're looking for is that added piece of context, and we're going to get that whether we read it now or later on. So I think probably even later on when you can binge through this thing, it's probably the best because you're not just sitting and waiting on pages. You're like, okay, you can get through this pretty quickly.
And I think with the movies, it's just different with the movies for some reason. I don't know. It's hard to explain why, but it's almost like having the Blu-rays on your shelf. You can actually, I'm in the mood for Rogue One today.
Yeah.
I can turn around and grab the Rogue One trade paperback. Oh, there it is. Oh, great. Like it's, and you can get through them, you know, and you know where to leave off. You know where to, I mean, they're easy reads. So it's, and because you already had most of the picture painted for you on the big screen, they're, it just adds more and it's great. I think they're great. So if you're going to go for it, go with the trade.
Awesome. Love that recommendation. Now, you touched on Vader there a little bit. Now, this is a big series that we spent quite a bit of time discussing in the first 10 issues of TSW Comics. Now, we're going to take a little break from that and do this Lando Double or Nothing this week, just because we're a bit close to the release of Solo Star Wars Story. And we also want to make sure that we get our opinion out there so you guys know whether or not to pick this thing up. If is it worth spending the $3.99 and continuing with a 5-issue miniseries. But I want to touch on Vader here real quickly when we're talking about things that we've been reading, because I know we've been keeping up with this. We have shed a ton of praise on the first 10 or so issues, 10, 11 issues of this comic book run by Charles Soule. It is my favorite comic book on the shelves right now. But we've just recently stepped into a brand new arc before getting into what's something we're going to talk about here in the news section is Fortress Vader. But this is the Mon Calamari arc. And it's Vader. He's interacting with OT characters. There's a nice melding of even prequel era references into this book. High level opinion, Rob. What are your thoughts on this most recent arc in Vader?
Well, this one here, without getting spoilerly, Mon Calamari, especially even when they revisited this planet in the Clone Wars, the animation or the animated series, I wasn't a fan. And underwater Vader, it's just, I love the little cookies in there and all these little Easter eggs for the Star Wars fan. I like, without spoiling it, you know what I'm talking about with how they're touching on all like what's happened before, how the story is progressing. I like all that. I just don't like the underwater Vader. It's just not for me. Like, it's still an okay story. It's not, but also too, I'm reading this series from what I'm expecting from the last 10 issues.
Yeah.
The first five were fantastic. Unreal. The next five were still great. This is starting to come down to earth for me, except we're going to get into this later. I'm really looking forward to the next arc, but it's not horrible. It's still Vader. It's still decent, but it's just, I'm not the underwater guy. I don't know. It's
You know, it's funny you say that because I've loved this arc.
Okay.
I've never really thought twice about Vader in water, and I like there's one on, this isn't a spoiler, but there's an underwater stormtrooper.
Yeah.
In one scene, I really like the look of that. I'm a trooper guy. But I've really enjoyed this arc. Now, I don't know if it's because of the actual story or because of what it's integrating here. So there's a lot of references from the prequels with...
Yes.
I'm not going to say what it is because it's kind of a cool reveal. And then there's some very significant... Now, we're talking about Mon Calamari. So you know the two biggest or most significant characters that are going to be in there. And I'm not going to say them because I don't want to spoil it from anyone. But once you start reading it, you're going to be like, yes, I love this. I love that they're interacting. They're bringing these characters into this comic book run. Because I feel like Charles Soule... And now I haven't been reading the main Star Wars run, but I feel like Charles Soule is the only one that's allowed to tell extremely original stories with original trilogy characters in this time frame. I feel right. that everyone, every other writer has had to create new characters or create some weird side story, some side angle to allow them to tell stories in a time frame and then also avoid stepping on canon, avoid stepping yes. on other characters that they may want to insert into a Star Wars story down the line. But they've seemingly given free rein to Charles Soule to use any character that he wants in any setting. He's telling really big stories, stories that you may expect, maybe not to see on the big screen, but something that could be in a TV show or an animated show or something like that. Like that sort of storytelling, what they did in Rebels by bringing in characters from the original trilogy at the back end. So he seems to have a lot more creative freedom across the board. And that's what I really like about this, is that it feels the most Star Wars out of any book I've read.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Like I said, it just, as far as my opinion on like the underwater stuff, it just, where it's going, like I love all the Easter eggs. I love the OT. I love all the references. It just, the story is just not for me.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think I'm looking forward to the next one. And also too, the one thing, I know the IDW books, you know, the Star Wars Adventures,
yep.
and they mirror that the animated series that's on YouTube, The Forces of Destiny,
yes.
and that's known as soft canon. One thing I don't want about with the main Marvel books is I don't want them to push that soft canon.
No, I agree.
Title. I love, you mean Jocasta Nu in the second run, in the second arc of this Vader series. I love everything they're doing in the Marvel since the Marvel takeover, except I just don't flirt with making this soft canon, because then it's like, oh, it just takes a little of the shine off it for me, right?
Oh, so, I agree 100%. Like if they cannot go down this path, like I'm fine with the Star Wars Adventure stuff being soft canon, being more children focused. So if you have to tell slightly different stories, that's fine for me. But I agree wholeheartedly that this stuff has to matter. Because this is, as Star Wars fans, as people that love the canon, love the bigger storytelling, we're the people going after this, right? We want this to matter and mean something.
Right.
And yeah, you could see where they could flirt with that line a little bit, but I think they've done pretty good with this Vader series on keeping it straight and narrow, but also making the stories matter. And that's one of my biggest things. And I agree. When you're talking about comparison to the first 10 issues, yeah, this is definitely a step down as far as a total arc from the storytelling perspective. But like we mentioned in the past, we're talking like 9, 10 out of 10 here. Like we're talking about some of the, at least in since the Disney takeover, that first 5 issues is the pinnacle of Marvel comic storybook telling. And it's so where does this rank amongst some of the other stories? I still say fairly high, but yeah, it's definitely in the vein of the first 10 issues. It's difficult to compare really anything. I'm curious as to what this next arc is going to be and how it really starts to tell, again, a big Vader story, a big Vader story that matters, but also how Charles Soule is able to kind of elaborate on this and make it on the same level, on the same playing field as the other issues that he's done.
Yeah, and that's, we've been over this before. Like, I know we rank the Star Wars comics on their own.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it with these ones today, but we rank them in the own Star Wars universe. Now, as far as comics go, I know that was issue number 4 of this Vader run. We put it, gave it a 10. Now, how many 10s are out there? Like, in all of comics? I've said before, Dark Knight?
Yep.
10? Watchmen?
Yeah, you're 10. Up there with Watchmen. I'm trying to think 10. Even in the Marvel world, there's quite a few good stories, but
yes.
If we're talking 10...
Yeah, like, whew, that, exactly. So when you're looking at the comic world, yeah, so if you're even reading this Vader comic, and even if we're grading them against other Vader comics or just other Star Wars Marvel comics, hey, this next arc, it's a solid 7 for me.
Yeah,
it's which isn't there. Horrible. It's just because the other ones were so good. Yeah. It's like, there's nothing wrong with this arc. It just doesn't. I mean, it has everything you want into it. It's just not quite there for me as far as comparing it to the other ones.
Yeah, so I'm excited to talk about this next arc here in a few minutes, what we're going to see coming forward in Vader. But one of the books I wanted to talk about quick here is Thrawn. Have you been reading the book adaptation of Thrawn?
Yes, without getting too spoily, because we want people to read. This is one I would recommend going out getting a trade for. A trade paperback, don't wait for the hardcover. Don't make it like this is one you can pull up just because you know it's going to fit nicely. And did you notice every issue, Thrawn starts out with, you know, the Imperial rank above his on his left pec, and it has like 2 red, 2 blue, you mean, and then on the next issue he has 3 red, 3 blue, the next one has 4 red, 4 blue. So every issue, it's not like it's chronological, but you see it in time jumps as he gets promoted. And I that personally, as a Star Wars nut, that's awesome. I don't know why, I think it's fantastic where they took the time to think about it and go, oh, we're going to make this thread. So when I pick up an issue, I know where I am, you know what I mean? And I know where he's going to end up. So I know I can kind of put it in my head. Okay. You don't got to explain anything to me. You don't got to put a date on this, like how many years before or after Battle of Yavin or whatever you got to do. I know where it is. And any Star Wars fan is, when you see the front covers, you're going to pick up on it. It's those touches in the Thrawn run I think are fantastic.
Yeah, and now this is the Timothy Zahn book that they're adapting, and I listened to this. I've finished it now, and what they're doing in here is fantastic. I love this idea actually of them adapting into comic book form the novels, because what I've struggled with recently is I don't have the time anymore to listen to a 16-hour novelization of a Star Wars book. Now, I've done a lot of them. I did all of Chuck Wendig's Aftermath. I've done Lost Stars, all that. So I've consumed quite a bit of Star Wars novelizations. But this here, and I love the Thrawn book. It's fantastic to listen to. It's really long, though. But this here is a great way for people to consume that canon, that piece of canon. And with regards to Thrawn, still one of my favorite villains in the Star Wars universe. I loved him from the EU, or Legends, I guess it's called now. But I love what they did with him in Rebels. So to have this, to have the book, and also a comic adaptation, it's just brilliant. It's really well done. It follows the storyline very well. They're very economic with how they're choosing and what parts and aspects of the novel they're including here and what visualizations they're using. Because, yeah, it's a 16-hour listen. So how are you gonna condense that down into 6 books? Well, they're doing it here very well. So if you're a fan of Thrawn from Rebels, if you don't have the time to get into the Timothy Zahn book for now, I'd recommend doing it eventually. But this is a great way to consume this, because Thrawn's still going to play. And, you know, there's rumors that Thrawn might show up in episode 9, whatever, right? So to get a bit more of that character, if you're yearning for that after the end of Rebels, you can get that right here. And it, like you said, I think waiting on the trade is probably the better way to go with this. I'm doing single issues because Thrawn's my dude. I love the character. I want the single issues. But in a couple months, that trade's going to be out there. And so you guys can go pick that up, read this. This is, fits nicely into, like you said, a long extended piece of canon. So this goes, I can't remember the exact, but this spans about 10 years or so.
Yeah. And these are great too, because again, as Star Wars fan, I'm, as you are in your crowd, I'm known as the Star Wars guy. In my, with my regular people, friends, if that makes any sense, outside of the Star Wars universe. So if anybody has a question, it's like, who's this blue dude? Hey, grab this trade paperback.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not going to tell them, if they don't know a lot about Star Wars, you're not going to be like, oh, here, grab this novel. It's like, oh no, dude, I'm not reading it. Like, I mean, like, does it have Luke in it? Well, no. Well, it's a hard sell. But to fans of sci-fi or fans of the movies, if they want to dig a little deeper, these trades that'll be coming out will be perfect. Here you go. Yeah. This is what you need to know.
Exactly. Yeah. It's great read. High recommend to pick it up, single issues or trade paperback eventually. Now, the two other or three other big ongoing series here. Now, I don't read these. I know you do. That's Poe Dameron, Dr. Aphra, and the main Star Wars run. So have you been keeping up with all of those? Because we're almost at issue 50 with the main Star Wars run.
Yes, I do. I keep up with them. I think I'm a couple issues behind. I have them. They're on my nightstand, but I'm just plowing through them. Again, the main Star Wars run, like throughout the issues, it's ups and downs, ups and downs. But it's if you're a Star Wars fan, they're great. I mean, they're going to be a good read. If you have the fringe fan that comes in, oh, what's this Star Wars? They're like, oh, what's going on here? Where are they? When is this set? When is it's going to be a little confusing. But I've been enjoying them. The Poe Dameron run has gotten much better since The Last Jedi. I think I mentioned this before, but I think it's because of the painting we got of his character and all his character growth from The Last Jedi.
Yes.
Reading this Poe Dameron run, which takes place before Force Awakens, but you see you're getting – because we have more of the on-screen character, now this is painting in more of how we got to become that on-screen character. It's just making the read more enjoyable for me.
Yeah, so they've kind of loosened the shackles a bit on their ability to expand on the character, because that's one of the issues with some of these books that are so tightly – or the story so tightly woven into – or close to a movie is that I feel that they can't fully tell a story because there's still pieces that need to be told in film. And now even with Snoke and Kylo and all that, I feel like some of that's been loosened a little because their story has come to either conclusion or they've told that specific piece that allows the creators now that are working even in a slightly different era, or not even era, but slightly different time frame with regards to The Last Jedi. I feel like they have a bit more creative freedom now to explore, maybe Poe going a little rogue or something to that effect. That's what I'm imagining they're doing a bit in that run.
Yeah, and also, too, you're getting a lot of the mentor-student thing between Leia and Poe, which is great. And now that we saw the conclusion of that almost in Last Jedi, you saw where Leia was, like, demoting him and slapping him and then going to Holdor and saying, yeah, I really like him, too.
Yeah.
Like, they know he's the dude, but he just... they can't tell him because, he's Poe.
Yeah, he's got to grow on his own.
Exactly.
Now, Dr. Aphra, this is the last one we're going to talk about kind of in this section. Then we're going to jump into some news. But it was a book that you and Mark really, really liked 3-4 months ago. And I know that the pace had slowed on it coming out of Screaming Citadel. Has it picked back up again?
Yep. Yeah. It's been good. Again, for some reason, when Aphra started, I had zero expectations because it was complete divergence from anything we know in Star Wars. There was no novels. There was no movie appearances. She was a sidekick of Vader in the first Vader run. And out she came. It was a pleasant surprise. But then again, the bar was real low.
Yeah.
And then when she started crossing over, whenever she had a crossover event with like Luke, when they crossed over with the main run, and then you had Vader coming back, which was kind of cool, but it wasn't what it was. And Aphra on her own is fantastic. But for some reason, when she jumps into our characters, like with Luke, or when they crossed over with the Star Wars run, it was like Screaming Citadel. It was like, oh, it just wasn't for me. It got too weird. Like I don't know. It's one of those things. Aphra on her own is fantastic, but that's just... she can stay on her own.
Yeah.
I love it. Don't get me wrong. That's not a slight. I'm saying she stands alone just perfect. She doesn't need Leia to show up. She doesn't need Luke to show up. You mean bumping the Han or anything like that. It's good enough on its own.
Yeah. It's one of those stories that they can tell removed from the original trilogy characters.
Yeah.
They don't need to rely on a Han, like you said, or some cameo appearances or Lando or someone like that jumping into the comic every so often. She's strong enough on her own to carry this series. And now she's got BT and 000. So I agree with you. I did eventually read through Screaming Citadel on that. And you're right. Like, she's much stronger on her own as a character where they can tell different stories. They're not bound by continuity, essentially. They can tell that she can go wherever. Like, she doesn't have to be on Tatooine or on Hoth at a certain point in time, right? Like, she can just be wherever.
Yeah, they plopped her into Yavin one time and they made no mention. It was just a temple, but they made no mention of anything. And that's great. But like you said, but it's just, I don't need it. Whenever I see it, it's almost like when The Simpsons did that, they had their spinoff special. like years, about 20 years ago, when all of a sudden they were joking the spinoffs, and they had like Chief Wiggum and Skinner down in New Orleans or something, and they see the Simpsons do that cameo show up. It's just like, here's Luke. Oh, what? And, and that's Citadel. Especially, I'm not a big magic guy, so when everything got a little, you know, when they got possessed and their eyes were red, it was like, what?
Yeah, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
Now, the brilliant thing here about Dr. Aphra and BT and Tripa Zero, who are two droid sidekicks here, and this is me transitioning into the news, but Dr. Aphra, BT, and Tripa Zero, they're all getting their own action figures. Now, we knew Dr. Aphra was getting an action figure herself molded into the plastic form, into history, into that legacy of Star Wars collecting, and she's going to be part of the vintage collection that is now hitting shelves. She's apparently going to be part as a single figure release, part of the second or third wave in the vintage collection. But a couple days ago, the groups over, or Hasbro, I should say, for San Diego Comic-Con announced one of their exclusives. Now, these are usually highly sought-after exclusives, the Hasbros, whether that's at Celebration or San Diego Comic-Con, wherever. These con exclusives are usually hot-ticket items. And what they've done here, they've taken that vintage collection Aphra, the 3 3/4-inch scale, and they've paired her up with a BT and Triple Zero, and they're doing a vintage collection release, a triple pack for San Diego Comic-Con. This is going to be exclusive. This is going to retail for about $50 US, so quite expensive, but it's also going to be available at Fan Expo in Toronto, in Canada there. So they're doing the release, and then you'll be able to get this also on Hasbro Toy Shop right after SDCC. But I'm super excited for this. This is an awesome, awesome set. It's really cool that we're getting something that isn't film related. This is comic related. This is the first time we're seeing an exclusive outside of the ones they did with the fan choice with Jaina Solo and Darth Revan, where they're kind of outside of the curtain continuity. But this is the first time we're getting an exclusive and even a set of characters that were first introduced in comics, have their own ongoing run, and we've never seen them on TV or in film. So I we've talked about this in the background, Rob. You are going to San Diego Comic-Con 2018.
I am.
I'm looking for you to hook me up.
Yeah, I am. You know, I'm the convention hookup.
Yes, he is.
I'm probably going to make an appearance. I'm not going to be on any stage or any autograph line, that's for sure. I usually go to Fan Expo for a day in Toronto because I'm about 40 minutes west of Toronto. It's usually worth my while to go and check it out. Busy, it's unbelievable. But this July, I will be at the San Diego Comic-Con. And this is one of those bucket list things. I know Sanjay from the Nerd Room, he went last year. He's been very helpful. I've been picking his brain a little bit because I'm an international I'm traveling internationally. I'm like, where do I pick up my passes? What do I do? Like, when should I show up? And, you know, there's a lot of questions that go on with stuff like this. So, yeah, we have this set. Now, I'm bringing my kid, and I already told him he has no interest in this. And if we're able to pick up tickets for these, because usually what they do, you get vouchers for them, and then you go in line and you get to purchase them. And sometimes you're allowed two each. You know, because there are very, very, very limited.
Yes.
You can't go up there and buy a dozen of them. You're allowed two per person. Because my kid doesn't want his, I'm like, okay, if I can pick up four, I got four. But I think all but one is spoken for.
We're vultures. As soon as we found out, we're like, hey, Rob, if you happen to be in the Hasbro line.
Yeah, exactly. We've touched on this before. I don't collect anything new. I have a lot of vintage stuff. I got the old Burger King glasses, those from the OT trilogy. I have just stuff that's cool for me. And anything I collect, I want to be able to put it up in my office. And if it can't fit in my, like, if I have to take something down in my office, it's got to be real cool. You know, because I want to be able to display it. I want to enjoy these things. And I'm an astromech builder, having this BT is pretty awesome. This is something I have a lot of astromechs. I have a lot of R2s around, and Imperial R2 model and all this other stuff. And
beep beep, right?
Yeah, beep beep. Yes, my daughter, my youngest calls R2 beep beep. So this is something I'm interested in. So, but Tim, I'll hook you up, and Kyle from Tumbling Saber, and also your joint Commonwealth show, your collecting show. Yes, I've got two spoken. Now, this is if I get four, because I want one.
Yes.
Doing. And now
priorities,
I'm
Rob.
Now if I'm allowed to get four, you guys are on the list. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see what happens after. I can't promise anything, but definitely, yeah. This is going to be one of those things I want on the list when I go down.
Yeah, it's a beautiful looking set too. So
oh, yeah.
It's going to be highly sought after. So if you can get four, by all means, but no pressure. I can just go online and pay $300 for it after.
No pressure at all. No. Yeah. And ironically, you and Kyle, I ended up getting you the X-Wing Lukes.
Yes.
And again, I'm not a collector of stuff new. So
thank God.
But it was just one of those things. And Mark and I were down and we're like, we couldn't get into, I think it was the 40th anniversary panel. It's like, oh, we're really bummed. I'm like, well, what's this lineup for? There was like 10 people there so far. I was like, oh, half an hour. They're giving out the Hasbro tickets. I'm like, well, okay. And there we were.
Yeah. History. So maybe we'll have to try to do something like that for TSW here at Celebration 2019. Maybe pick up the exclusive, raffle it off. I know Chop Rules with the Z, our dude Corey over at Tumbling Saber. He's his fingers crossed.
He's dying. he's dying. And again, and it's, yeah, you know, a lot of people go to these conventions and they put these things on eBay. And yeah, there's money to be made. But you know what? If you're collecting these things, you know better than I do. Like, it'd be like if I was missing that one Burger King glass or that if I didn't have Farm Boy Luke and you were at Celebration, you're like, he's sitting right in front of me. You know what I mean? He's like, yes, please. Like, it's. Yeah.
Pull the trigger.
It's just exactly. That's what it's for. And if you're going to be at any of these events, where you know the Fan Expo in Toronto or our San Diego Comic Con, pick one up. Don't drop one on eBay. Like, you mean, there's lots of collectors out there that would just love you for it. And it's just do them a favor. Come on, you know what I mean?
Exactly. They
do it for you.
Yeah, I look at things even in the stores when there are one or two of them, and I'll pick up both. I'd like. I really want to get both of these, but I don't need both of them. I'm going to leave one for another collector.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Someone else will get it. Someone else will appreciate that I haven't gone and bought all four of the only range troopers that are on the shelf. No, mm-hmm. I bought one because that's all I need.
And especially when there's because Star Wars did a little, that's a little dirty because they came out with this awesome series. I bought that was the 40th anniversary. What are they called? The 6-inch series?
Yeah, the blacks. Or the 40th. Yeah, the 40th anniversary 6-inch scale blacks.
Yeah, and I bought the R2, and I was talking to Chop Rules with a Z. We are Canadian. Sorry, Corey. But I was talking to him, and we were doing a round table. I said, yeah, I opened him up, and now R2's sitting on my shelf. He's right in front of me here, and he's like, you opened the package? I'm like, yeah, I'm not collecting the series. He's like, but he was on the hunt for that R2. He's like, oh, well. Well, I guess you could always find another one. I'm like, I don't want to find another one. he just can't believe, like, you opened it up. I'm like, yeah, it's brand new. It's not like vintage card back, like where it's 40 years old. Yeah, of course I cracked them open. But they come out with these things. If you're collecting the series, you have to chase after that exclusive. Like, I would have to as a completionist, like we said before. It's just, and it's a little, come on, guys. Like, you know, I know they want to do something exclusive for Celebration, but maybe have a Celebration tag on it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't look really any different. It's got the card backs. It's a bit more, not quite embossed, but it's got almost like a foil. So it does look a little bit different, but yeah, I agree. Sometimes with the exclusives, and that's one of my big focuses now is exclusives. Because they are hard to get. They actually mean a little bit more something. And they usually have a really nice story behind them. And that's why I like collecting them. So, like, I look at pieces like that X-Wing Luke. And I'll always remember you calling me. I was at my parents. I remember this specifically. You called me and said, Tim, I got this. Like, don't worry about it. And I was like, I was visiting my parents in Ontario. I was so excited. So happy about that. And I specifically remember
weird.
That.
Because you were in Ontario and I was, I live in Ontario. You were like an hour away from where I live. And I was in Orlando. So, yeah, there you go, Tim. See, there's my R2 out of the box. I can open up his panels. I can see his little arms. I can put the jets on him if I want to. It's, you know,
beautiful.
Fantastic.
Oh, I love that 6-inch scale. Now, going back to some comics here, we got quite a few new comics coming forward here in the next couple of months. And one specifically here that drops on August 15th ties directly to Solo, a Star Wars story. It's called Star Wars Beckett. Now, Grabs, one of the listeners over on the Nerd Room, he asked specifically about if we're going to see some more context to this character, a bit of backstory because of the reference to Aurora Singh. He seemingly has deeper ties to the underworld of Star Wars. And we're getting a 40-page one-shot of this character. Now, if you listen back to previous previous issues of TSW Comics, we didn't have great things to say about the DJ comic.
No,
and even Storms of Crate, which was kind of a pseudo tie-in to The Last Jedi as well, both of them seemed kind of redundant and somewhat irrelevant. They didn't tell really or expand too much on that character. Didn't give you the rationale, reasoning, specifically with DJ, as to this character that shows up in The Last Jedi, kind of screws everything up, and then disappears. We're looking for a little bit more context, especially with the caliber of actor that was behind that character. Now, we're looking at a character like Beckett now from Solo. Again, very good actor, great portrayal on screen, and now we're getting some of that backstory. What are your thoughts on Beckett getting a one-shot for tying in, I'm presumably tying into Solo, and giving a bit more of that backstory?
I like it. Will I like it? That's another, that's a complete, because Storms of Crate was, it just didn't tie me in The Last Jedi like I thought it would. Again, the DJ one shot was just all over the place, super wordy. Like if it takes you 10 minutes to read a comic, this one is going to take you 25. You know what I mean? Like it was just like, wow. And they added all the stutters and the ums and ahs.
Yes, they did.
If I want stutters or ums and ahs, I had to do a weekly podcast. I can hear myself every week. And I do when I edit the show. I don't need to read it off the page. So I have high hopes. I like the character in the movie. We didn't discuss this, but so many other shows have been discussing the Solo reaction, how they liked it. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. I know there's some people had some issues with it, but I had zero expectations, so the bar was low and I liked it. And Woody Harrelson, he's great on screen. Now, seeing Woody Harrelson playing somebody in a Star Wars universe took me out for a half second when he showed up, but I was into it. You know, 5 minutes later. So seeing a little backstory about his Star Wars character, yeah, I'm all for it. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm definitely down. Now, it looks like based off of the synopsis here, we're going to have a bit more of the history between himself and Empty's Nest explored. You look at the cover, she's on the front. And on this cover issue I have here, it seemingly was released before the film came out because it has blanked out Val and Rio. So I'm looking forward to see what they do there, explore a bit more of Val and Beckett's relationship, a bit more of Rio, and a bit more how it seems like they had a bit more of this longer history with Empty's Nest, which is a character I'm really interested in coming out of Solo, a Star Wars story as well. So I'm actually really excited for this one. I have high hopes for it, and that, again, might be my own personal downfall when we do actually get this. But given the way that Solo evolved and the likelihood of them actually going back to tell a story before this in film or TV is quite unlikely. So I'm going to say that we're probably going to get quite a bit of character development and dynamic built into this comic book. At least that's my hope. So overall, I got high hopes. Comes out on August 15th, so not too far away. And maybe just add a bit more of backstory to a character that they didn't really have a whole bunch of time to set up. They spent a lot of time focusing on Han, on Chewie, on Kira. So this character didn't get a ton of screen. We got a lot of screen time, but not a lot of overall development or backstory. So hopefully this comic fills in some of those holes.
And you also see the relationships he has with the other people on the cover.
Yeah.
Without going into detail, you know, with all three different people along with Beckett on the cover, you know, there's history behind there, and hopefully we'll get a lot of these questions answered from that. You know, we don't want to need an origin story, but you know, the history of the character with interacting with the other characters.
Yes.
And that'll make a lot more sense when you see the cover and you see the movie.
Yeah. Definitely, 100%. Now, another book that's coming at us pretty quick here, releases on August 8th, 2018, is this new Vader arc called, Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, Fortress Vader. Now, Charles Soule teased this on Twitter about a month or so ago, just in early May, just after May the 4th, actually. And what he wrote was, next big arc in Vader series is called Fortress Vader. It's about how he got this. And it's a picture of Vader's fortress from Rogue One. I tell you, man, like, we love that series. Maybe a little dip with this Mon Calamari arc, but coming into this Fortress Vader, again, a big story that we've wanted since we saw Rogue One, and there's been some context built around, I believe, in some of the visual dictionaries as far as what the fortress is, why it's built specifically on Mustafar, where it's built. So to get that actually fleshed out in comic form with Charles Soule doing the writing, man, I tell you, August 8th can't come soon enough for me.
I know. I'm looking forward to this video just because, okay, you have Vader you know, from Rogue One, his little fortress is on Mustafar. And then it's like, wait a second, that's where you were defeated, delimbed.
Yes.
You mean, almost, you had lost one arm earlier, but you know, I mean, the rest of them went. And you, yes, as far as you're concerned, you killed the love of your wife. Love of your life, because you know that's where he thinks he killed Padme, and yeah. It's like, why would you go back to that horrific place with all this? And what I've kind of figured out for myself, I'm thinking, oh, maybe the Emperor has him there just to keep him feeling dark, to keep him angry, keep him, you mean, pulling, so he doesn't pull towards the light. He's just surrounded by this horrible memory and all these, and that's why his fortress is there. So is. Maybe they'll touch on that. I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah, it has to lean a bit more on the darker side of storytelling when it comes to Star Wars. Because there's, like you said, there's the painful memories of the death or the apparent death of Padme, him losing to Obi-Wan, this planet Mustafar, which in itself visually is going to be awesome to see mm-hmm. in comic book panels. So I'm hoping that they really take this arc seriously. And I know Charles Soule is going to. But there's a lot to explore here. And we've seen in previous Vader comic issues, him touching, you know, when they go just panel by panel, no words, he's mm-hmm. meditating and you see the light limbs and the dark body. I really like that abstract look at Vader and then using less words and more visualization
right.
for this comic book. You're going to need a little bit of that. You're going to need the context building and the dialogue to really frame things up. But I'm really hoping they rely on their art again for this arc, because it's going to be visually stunning if they do it right.
Yeah, it's kind of a movie comparison. It's almost like when he is on Mustafar and he just killed all the Trade Federation.
Yes.
And he's standing on the balcony and he's rolling a tear and he's flashing back to Padme, and it's all visual. You see yeah. Padme looking out over the horizon, and she's on Coruscant, and Anakin's there, and he's turning, and he's already killed younglings and everybody else, and so he's dealing with what he's dealing with. And when they do it in the comics, when you see that reflected in the comics, it comes off like, it's just those panels tell you way more. I know they say a picture says 1,000 words, but these ones give you way more information than a thought bubble would.
Yes.
You can see it, you know.
Definitely. And they're going to have to be doing flashbacks to Padme, to him losing to Obi-Wan. Like, they've got to bring all of that context from the prequels into this for this story that's happening, you know, in between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. So I'm extremely excited for this. So like I said, this comes out August 8th. So make sure to be at your comic book shops. Make sure to be all caught up on this Vader series before this next big arc starts for Vader. And with that being said, I think it's time we jump into our review of Lando, Double or Nothing, issue number 1. Now, what we're going to do here, and like we've always done on the other TSW comic issues, is we pick one book and we do a review of it. Now, for this one in particular, we're going to stay relatively spoiler-free because it's just come out. What we want to do is provide a little bit of insight as to whether or not you guys should be picking this up or not. If this adds to the character of Lando from Solo, a Star Wars story, or if it's kind of a hard pass or a trade pass, like where you get it and read it like we've talked about in trade paperback. And like I said, spoiler free for the most part. We're not going to really elaborate on what's going on, but we are going to touch on kind of the story, Lando himself, some of the art, and how it ties to Solo, a Star Wars story. So this comic book just came out a couple weeks ago. And like we said, it takes place just before Solo, a Star Wars story. So it's giving us a bit of that backstory of Lando, recontextualizing and recanonizing his backstory. Now, I'm not too familiar with what they've done in Legends with Lando, but where they've taken the character on screen, I'm incredibly impressed by. I love Donald Glover in this role. I want to see more of him, and hopefully do someday in film. But for now, we get him in comic book form. So, high level, Rob, what were your thoughts on this first issue of Lando, Double or Nothing?
I liked it. I like the fact that we have the voice of his robot, L3.
Yes.
Yeah, so I already know Phoebe Waller-Bridge is in my head when I'm reading this. Exactly. And I know, without spoiling much of the movie, I know like she's a sassy droid. So if you just read this without seeing the movie, you'd be like, wait, what? Like, I'm glad this has come out now that we've – I mean, when you're picking this up, obviously you've probably seen the movie, so it plays well. because you don't, there's not much imagination needed. It's, you have those voices in your head. You know how Donald Glover's playing Lando. It is, they're using the Donald Glover image.
Yes.
Not the Billy Dee Williams. So you're right there. You're right there in the Falcon. You got the new look Falcon. You have the very suave Donald Glover Lando and his L3. And it's, I enjoyed it. I think it wasn't like, oh, it wasn't like, okay, this is the best comic book I've ever read. But at the same time, I have high hopes just because I know the last Lando series they did, the last run they did when he was a lot older, was fantastic. And that was, that just came out of nowhere. And we're like, wow, this is just a fantastic run. Like, why is this so good? It's Lando. Now the bar set a little higher just because of that last run. And if you notice on the front cover, they use, when they have Lando on the front cover, they use the same font
as
they did when they had the other run. So I think they're trying to lean on that a little bit, but I'm looking forward to it. Like, I'm looking forward to getting into this whole series. It's the voices help, if that makes any sense.
100%, because all I can hear is Glover's, I'm going to say, semi-impression of Billy Dee Williams' Lando. Mm-hmm. I can hear, there's a scene in here, I got the book open to it, where he says, my, what do we have here? Like, that's, yes. Like, I love that callback. Like, it's just brilliant, because that's a callback to the OT, and I got that voice in my head. I know exactly what you're talking about, because that helped me through this comic book. Because in the past, the tie-ins, like we had mentioned, they haven't been fantastic. Now, right. Always look, and this is a 5-issue miniseries, so this has got a bit of time to grow. And the first issue, they're not going to tell you or give you too much of the story they want to tell, but they need to give you enough to hook you. So this is how I judge these 5-issue miniseries. I need to be hooked on the first issue. I need to want more. If I'm not hooked on the first issue, I don't bother. This is Marvel wherever. Yes. When we're talking about comic books, if you can't get me there, you're not going to get me on subsequent issues. Now, that has led me to leaving or missing out on a few things, but that's what I look for in these mini issues. So these mini stories, the first issue. Now, when I was reading this, in my head, it was a one shot. So I'm going through, I'm like, I really enjoy this. This is really great. I got towards the end, I'm like, how are they going to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Like, this just seems weird. And then I got to the end, I was like, oh yes, this is a 5-issue miniseries. So as I was getting towards the end, I'm thinking to myself out loud, I really enjoy this. I want more of this. I need more of this character. Well, good, because you get 5 issues of it. So that to me is a testament to what they've crafted in here, being a first issue and being something that's hooked me right out the gate. I love L3 in here. I love Lando in here. The situation that they put him in is fantastic. It really elaborates on his character. It gives you a bit more of that scoundrel, kind of how he's chasing things, how he does things, how he kind of likes the high living. And yes. I really, really like that. And the art in here is fantastic. It's really great. It's engaging art. They've captured enough of Donald Glover's likeness in the issue here in the panels to make it feel, yeah, I'm reading a Lando book, but not kind of that uncanny valley stuff that you see in the main Star Wars run. The side characters are pretty good, and how they treat Lando, I think it's very appropriate. It's a very well done book, and so for me, yeah, I'm super impressed. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's gonna be great. And again, what they did with Triple Zero in the Afro run, they had to, you know, he's, as we all know now, and it's not, it's been out for a while. So he's a malicious droid. He's a psychopath, really. You know what I mean? And he's a killer, but they built up to it. So you met these two, an astromech that was obviously supposed to mirror R2, and he has this big red eye on his dome. And then you have this 3PO looking droid, this protocol droid, but they're completely polar opposites of C-3PO and R2-D2. So they had to build up this thing with 000, and you had to, but in this book with L3, because you've seen the movie, you already have that sass. They don't have to explain why is this droid talking like this? Why is a droid not just being a droid? Why is it interacting with Lando in this way? We have that voice in our head, and they don't have to do all the legwork. It's like, here are the characters. You have the voices already. Go read the book.
Yeah, exactly. And I love that they pick up a bit on her, kind of that revolutionary droid.
Yes.
Her, and she's using that kind of mindset to influence Lando a little bit in here, as far as kind of the journey or the adventure that he's been set out on here. Mm-hmm. So overall, this is kind of a quick review, because we don't want to give too much away here.
Right.
But is this kind of what you're hoping for? How do you feel it ties into Solo? And do you recommend people jumping into this?
Yes. Yeah. It's not going to jump out where, because we speak so highly of the other Lando run. This could be just as good. Again, it's the whole story's not done yet, and I'm looking forward to finishing it. Like I said, did it hit me like the last Vader run did? Well, no, but probably
not much will.
Not much will. You know what I mean? Like the new Watchmen series that's just come out with the crossover with DC is, if they're taking a long time with that one, but they're flirting with that high praise. Yeah. But again, that's DC crossing over with Watchmen. Like, who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, so when we come back to this one, yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing it. Like, this is a good introduction. Yeah, it's not the greatest book you're ever going to pick up. We don't want to like be Star Wars apologists, but for me, yeah, it's a good start.
Yeah, I agree. This is for me, it's definitely recommend, definitely pick up. I think if you're looking for more Lando story, this is where you're going to need to go. And what they do in here, it's good stuff. The good storytelling, good art. And if you enjoyed Solo, A Star Wars Story, you're going to enjoy this comic book. We all want more of Donald Glover in that role of Lando. We'll see if we ever get that on film. But to have him here in comic book form and have it well done, I think is something that as a fan and as a fan of that film, you're going to be able to really appreciate. So yeah, definitely get out there and pick up Lando Double or Nothing, issue number one. I believe issue number two comes out here on June 20th, so just a couple weeks. So this is going to probably be by the end of the summer, we'll have had this whole run. So you're looking probably early fall to get a trade if that's kind of the route you want to go in and kind of binge through this, as we've recommended with a few of the other series. So it's something that you're going to be able to consume here probably before the end of the year if you do want to wait on this thing. So yeah, everything's looking great in Star Wars comics at the moment. I'm having a ton of fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah. And again, we touched on a little bit, I think. I'm not sure. The Star Wars Adventure comic run. That's pretty cool. Again, I'm not going to get too much into it. It's soft canon, but it's under the IDW umbrella. So that makes it, in my head, canon. Okay.
Yes.
So, and again, they're great stories for younger readers. Again, middle-aged men might not, this is a little childish. Well, it's to compare it, YouTube Forces of Destiny, you'll see the little animation run they have going. It's a lot like that.
Yes, exactly. It's definitely directed at a younger generation, which is pretty cool. Us both having young children, it's something that I can't wait to pass on and have her read, and that's be kind of her avenue or an avenue in to Star Wars, because they're going to have a whole bunch of them. This is just one set avenue, and it's visual. And it's also reading, so it kind of works on both angles there for me. It's not something you're plugging them into on an iPad or whatever. So it's great stuff, absolutely great stuff. So for this month, that does it for TSW Comics here. Now, we're going to be coming at you guys. We're going to be picking these up monthly again. So you're going to hear myself and Rob. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about Vader next month. There is the annual coming out here in a couple of weeks. So that's going to be the big 50th issue of Star Wars. So we're going to try to rotate through some of our reviews, give our opinions on some of these bigger arcs even, and we're going to continue to bring kind of the latest news and reviews on Star Wars comic books. Now, Rob, where can everyone find you on the internet?
Well, if you don't hear us next month for whatever reason, you can actually catch up with me if you're going to be in San Diego. I'll be at the San Diego Comic-Con on all, I believe it's 5 days. So I'll be there, and you can just tweet at me at RobertMMCast and just give me a quick tweet, and I'll be on the convention floor that entire long, long weekend, and probably I might be a little more fatigued than I am listening to me now, but but it'd be great if you're around me for a little meetup. That'd be fantastic. You can catch my weekly show, The Roman Podcast. It is not children friendly. It is just one of those shows you put in if you want to giggle for 30 minutes out of the week.
That's
you
me. Can find brilliant stuff. That,
thanks. That's a little comedy show I do with my good buddy Roman. And of course, catch me on TSW Roundtable. Right now we're getting into the retrospective. And the next one coming up I have to record is going to be Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I had a ton of fun recording Attack of the Clones.
Yes, that was good, and it was great. And hey, if you haven't heard that one, go to the TSW feed and look at the back catalog. And we don't crap on it too much.
I think I'm the most negative.
Yeah, it was a positive, great discussion about a movie that's, you know, that's now probably, I know, what is there, 10 Star Wars movies out now?
Yeah.
So yeah, I know a lot of people. It's by next year, it might actually fall off the top 10 for some people. But, you know, hey, we had a great time doing it. So that's where you can find me, Robert MMCast on Twitter, and anything TSW, Roundtable Comics, or Roman Podcast, you can find me there.
Awesome. And yourself? Yeah, you can find me at the NerdRM on Twitter. You can also find me at the Nerd Room podcast. So we do kind of a weekly news and reviews type thing, everything Star Wars, Marvel, and DC. You can find everything that we do there on the nerdroom.net. And you can also find everything that we do here in the TSW family on talkstarwars.co.uk. So everything is posted there, as well as in the TSW podcast feed over on Blog Talk Radio. So Rob, congratulations, Rob Wade, I should say. Congratulations on your acquisition of Talk Star Wars. We look forward to continuing to work with Rob to bring you the best Star Wars content on the internet, along with everyone over at the Star Wars Commonwealth. Now we are part of a much bigger organization, much bigger conglomerate of podcasts. You can find everything that everyone does on StarWarsCommonwealth.com, including this show will be posted when it does upload to the Talk Star Wars feed. So I had a blast here, man. This has been great getting back to talking comics on TSW Comics. I can't wait to do this in hopefully, I guess, another month here. We'll try to work around the SDCC schedule that you have there and get something in. And we're going to continue going forward here. Plow forward. We're going to get back to the regular routine. And I'm looking forward to catching up with you in a couple weeks talking more Star Wars comics.
I can't wait. I love it.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute blast. Okay, guys, until next month for the TSW Comics, I'm Tim.
And I'm Rob.
And we'll see you guys next month.